As we come to God's Word today, we are actually going to be concluding our series out of the book of Nehemiah, the second half of the series entitled Regrouping, because that's what we're doing. We're reopening, regrouping in our nation as we still plod through this pandemic. And this is especially a great day because we're going to talk about a delightful word, the word celebration. Oh, who doesn't love a party? I mean, I remember those birthday parties my mom used to throw for me, and she'd make these big birthday cakes, nice big white cakes, tall. And then she'd wrap quarters in saran wrap, and she'd stick them in the cake. And boy, was it your day if your piece of cake at the birthday party had one of those quarters in. I mean, 25 whole cents just for you. It was wonderful. Obviously, a lot of people have been and are continuing to celebrate graduations. I mean, what an amazing accomplishment. That's worth celebrating as well. And right here in the middle of the summer, a lot of people are celebrating wedding anniversaries. I mean, celebrating those remarkable people that God's brought into their lives and their marriages. Man, what a great way to celebrate. And of course, here today, we're celebrating as a church family for another reason. Although many of you are just continuing to watch online this service because of the pandemic, today is the first day, this Sunday, this weekend is the first weekend that we're having our first service in this sanctuary in 4 months. Boy, today especially, walking into this auditorium, it felt especially empty. But I'm so looking forward to being with you. I pre-recorded this sermon, but for those who do choose to come to church on July 12th for our 10:30 service, I will be actually preaching this sermon again live. So whether online or in person, it's going to be live. But what a day of celebration that at least some of us can start coming back. We can see each other. We can experience corporate worship. So it's a big day of celebration. And here's a celebration we come to in Nehemiah chapter 12, because Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem. And now in chapter 12, they're going to throw a huge celebration of dedication of these walls. Nehemiah 12 and verse 43. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices. They rejoiced because God had given them great joy. That's celebration language right there. God had given them great joy because these walls had been rebuilt. And they just rejoiced. And the women and the children also rejoiced. This is for all ages. And the sound, get this, the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. I mean, that's a party I wish I could have attended. That's amazing. I mean, they were so celebrating. They were so happy. They were so rejoicing that well out of town, you could still hear their celebrations within the walls of the city of Jerusalem. That's an amazing thing. The other side of that coin, though, is, I mean, it would be easy to understand why none of us are in the celebrating mood right now. Because after all, we're still in a pandemic. Right now, virus infections are ticking up again in our country. People are continuing to die. I mean, why celebrate? What a hard time, and millions of people have lost their jobs, and a lot of uncertainty about everything. This fall, we can't make plans about anything very permanently. It's just like such a difficult time. Still people having to work from home. Still all the extra tensions of having to wear a mask whenever you're outside and not stand too close to people and all the stresses of this. And then on top of it, our whole nation is being torn apart. It's a political year. It's an election year. And every issue in our country is being seen through a political lens, and people are angry with each other. And then we've got racial injustice and social injustices that are being brought to the fore. And people are protesting in the streets, and then others are rioting in the streets and burning and looting and taking business away from minorities as they burn those businesses down. And crime rates are beginning to skyrocket in our big cities as policing is being pulled back. And it just feels like our country's out of control. I mean, why are we talking about celebrating right now when all of this is going on? Well, why celebrate? Nehemiah gives us the answers. Because from Nehemiah 6, when they finish the wall, all through Nehemiah 12, when they actually dedicate the wall, we will see three important clues for why we ought to celebrate today in spite of what's going on in our world. We ought to celebrate with all our hearts. And the first reason we can celebrate is that Jesus has given us the victory. I mean, that's more than a Christian cliche. But Jesus Christ has given us the victory. He's coming again someday, and he's going to finish what he started the first time that he came, when he came and died on the cross. Well, where do you get that out of the book of Nehemiah? Well, let's go back to when the walls were finished in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Nehemiah just writes, "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, the month, in 52 days. These devastated walls around Jerusalem were built in 52 days. It's remarkable, not only from an engineering standpoint, but the first half of this series we simply entitled Overcoming, because the entrenched interests that did not want the walls rebuilt, they were throwing everything in the kitchen sink at Nehemiah. They were throwing accusations, distractions. They were throwing discouragement. They were throwing intimidation and threats at Nehemiah. And in spite of that, they actually overcame those obstacles and finished the walls in 52 days. That's an amazing thing. But I especially love the next verse. It says, when all our enemies heard about this, when the enemies who had been trying their dead level best to keep these walls from being rebuilt, when they heard that we completed the walls, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized this work had been done with the help of God. I mean, I love that verse. I love the fact that the devil's going to lose heart in our lives and in our world someday. The devil's going to lose heart. It says the enemies lost their confidence, and they were terrified. They were afraid because they realized God had done something they couldn't stop. And that's exactly what God did for us in Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 2. He said, having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's the invisible realm of the demonic, of the satanic. This is the spiritual of darkness. This is the kingdom of evil. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus, made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus defeated the enemy. Jesus gave us the victory over all of our enemies. And he uses a word picture that would have been very familiar to these people who received the letter to the Colossians. It was the picture of a Roman general doing his triumphant, what they would call the triumphal procession, back into the city of Rome. Here's one artist's depiction of it. Often historians tell us sometimes the prisoners of war and the spoils of war would follow the victorious general you see in the middle there behind the horses in a chariot. But often the prisoners of war would be first, and then the spoils of war, just showing all that the general had done. And then the general would come in this triumphant procession. He'd start through the Arc of Triumph on the outskirts of Rome, and they'd follow this path of roads. There you can see the Roman Colosseum in the background, and then end up at the Temple of Jupiter, where he'd offered to the pagan gods his sacrifice of gratitude. This was obviously for these generals an incredible ego moment. It was the great triumphal procession. And Paul picks up on that word picture and says, they're not going to go to offer some kind of animal to some pagan god. But Jesus himself was the sacrifice on the cross. And in it, he disarmed the powers and the authorities and made a public spectacle of them. And this is exactly part of this whole procession, was the prisoners of war and the spoils of war. And the general would just show off his victory. Here's what I captured. Here's what I conquered. And Jesus has done this for you and I. He's brought us the victory. You can say, well, if he's done that, I don't know that my life looks like that this past week. I mean, I've been praying prayers. I don't think he's answered yet. I my kids are still messed up, and I still don't have a job. Got fired during the pandemic, got laid off. I don't know what the future holds for me. I mean, where's the victory in my life? Well, I love what Forbes said. He said, the best antidote to short-term discouragement is a long-term vision. And Jesus and what he did at the cross gives us the long-term vision. At the cross, he dealt the death blow to the enemy, and he took the spoils of battle, and he's coming back again to finish what he started. God's not done his story in your life. And I know that sometimes it takes time for answered prayer. I know it takes time because we're in a spiritual battle. But he just wants to keep our eyes on the long-term vision. Jesus is coming back, and he's not coming back in a manger to die on a cross. He's coming back as the triumphant, victorious one. I tell you, we can celebrate today because there's a day coming, like when the walls were done in Nehemiah, that the enemy is going to lose his heart. The enemy is going to finally have to cower in fear to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Listen, Jesus has brought us the victory. So we celebrate today. We say, thank you, Lord, that your victory has come to us in Jesus. And we also see in the book of Nehemiah that we celebrate because God has given us his word. Jesus has given us the victory, but God has given us his word. After the walls are done, and this is review from what we've been looking at the last few weeks, in chapter 8, they all gathered in a big square, and the walls are done now, and they hear the reading of God's word. And Ezra reads the word, and they've got Levites going through the crowd explaining God's word, the reading out of the Old Testament scriptures. And they finally, they neglected the scriptures for the longest time. And now the word of God is coming to them. And their first response is to be convicted by God's word, like, because it sort of lays their heart open, shows all the ways they've been disobedient to God. And it's interesting that Nehemiah interrupts that. And all the repentance will come in chapter 9 and chapter 10. And all the decisions to turn around their national life. I mean, that happens in a dramatic way in the next two chapters. But Nehemiah says, before you go to repenting and all of those things, in verse 10 of chapter 8, he said, go and enjoy choice food and drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't grieve. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is a time to celebrate. I mean, joy. Let's have joy here. Listen, the day to repent, and they will regather in a few days and repent and do all of that. But he said, we have heard the word of the Lord. So first of all, we need to throw a party. Let's get some food, he said. Let's have some joy because it's God's joy that strengthens us. Celebration ought to be a part of our lives always. And so verse 12, it describes what the people did. Then all the people went away to eat and to drink, to send portions of food, and to what? To celebrate with great joy. Why? Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Listen, they celebrated because they finally not only knew, but could begin to understand God's word again. This is reason for celebration. Here's a picture of the most valuable book in the entire world today. There's only 25 copies of this entire book, and it's the Gutenberg Bible. And if you look at the Gutenberg Bible, it is an amazing book that was printed by Johann Gutenberg almost 600 years ago on what is considered the greatest invention of the last millennium, and that's the printing press. Gutenberg invented the printing press. It changed the whole world. And one of the first books he printed was the Bible, this beautiful Gutenberg Bible. 21 copies of this full Bible still exist today. They can't even put a price tag on it. It's so valuable. It's an amazing book. But I want to tell you, that book's valuable for more reasons than one. This Bible that all of us probably have in our homes and in our possession or on our phones or our iPads. I mean, this Bible, every page will answer one or more of these three questions. What does God's word tell me about who God is? And what does God's word tell me about who I am? And what does God's word tell me about how I can have a relationship with him? I tell you, if the Bible's become sort of boring for you, if you've just kind of been neglecting it, I find the more I'm in God's Word, the more I want to be. The less I'm in God's Word, the less I want to be honest with you. But I just encourage you to give it a new shot. This is invaluable. This was worth throwing a whole party over. We have God's Word, and we can now understand it. And if nothing else, just for every page you read in the Bible, ask yourself, what is this telling me about God? And what is this telling me about me and about the human race? It's brutally honest with us about human nature. And what is this telling me about the relationship I can have with God? I guarantee you almost every page of the Bible will answer at least one of those three questions. And find a version. There's many great English versions. Start finding a version that you haven't been reading in lately. And just get God's Word into your heart. Just make it fresh and go at it and ask yourself those questions and make this a new adventure in God's Word like they did back in Ezra's time. I mean, this was why they celebrate. This is why because God's Word has come to us. And so let's celebrate, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I just pray God will give us new delight in God's Word. During our prayer time earlier in this online service, I just sensed that there were people who you know, and the enemy does this to us, who are just doubting the goodness of God. We don't know where he is. I want to tell you, keep your eye on the end goal, that Jesus has brought you the victory. And just worship him and praise him for that, no matter what you see yet. And then immerse yourself in God's Word, this invaluable book. Thank God we have it. Thank God God put things in writing. So it's not just what I feel. It's just not my opinion. It's just not what may or may not happen around me. It's just not what they're protesting in the streets. It's what God says. And he put it in black and white. And it nourishes our hearts. It builds our faith. It constantly reintroduces us to a good God that defies what we may feel from day to day. Thank God he gave us his Word. So they celebrated because the enemy had lost heart. Jesus. We can celebrate because Jesus has brought us the victory. And we can celebrate because God has given us his Word. And we can also celebrate because the Holy Spirit has given us a song. Jesus has given us the victory. God's given us his Word. And the Holy Spirit has given us a song in our hearts. And so this is why when they finally in chapter 12 of Nehemiah get to dedicating the wall, they throw another big celebration. And in verse 27 of Nehemiah 12, it says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication. And notice how they celebrated the dedication of the walls. They did it with songs and thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals and harps and lyres and all of these things that are musical. I mean, whatever they could find to make music with, they did it. And verse 31, I and the leaders of Judah, Nehemiah writes, go up on top of the wall. I had them all do that. So now they're going to walk. The wall was pretty thick, pretty wide. They could actually walk in procession on top of these newly rebuilt walls they're dedicating. So I had the leaders go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs. So they mentioned instruments, cymbals, harps, and all of those things. Now two large choirs. And I assigned them to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right. And verse 38 says the second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. And I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people. So half the people follow one of the choirs and they go one direction, they go counterclockwise, and the other choir goes the other direction clockwise around the wall of Jerusalem, and they sing as they go. And verse 40 says, and then the two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the temple, in the house of God. So they go around the walls. Can you imagine what a procession? And half the people following one choir, half the people following another. They are singing, they are celebrating, they are playing their instruments, and they are singing the song of the Lord. These great choirs. I mean, it's an amazing thing because God had put a song of joy in their hearts The walls, against all odds, had been rebuilt. The enemy had lost his heart. God had given us his word again. And now God's putting song in their hearts. I love what Psalm 40 in verse 3 says. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Listen, this is what God does when he comes. He puts a new song in our hearts. And I want to tell you, we're having to wear masks, and I think most people who will be in the live service this weekend here at Central, our first one in 4 months, most people will be wearing masks, and it kind of muffles our song. But you know what? There's a song in our heart that no mask can muffle, that no demon in hell can take away from us. It's that song that he puts. I remember when I dealt with, I really wrestled with doubt for a year or two in my life when I was a teenager. And I remember one night just really meeting with God, and he just broke those doubts. And I already knew intellectually why I believed, but there was just this haunting spiritual spirit of doubt that was just plaguing me. And it just broke that night that I met with God. And I remember the next day I woke up thinking those doubts would come back, and they weren't. Instead, I'll never forget, I was 15 years old, and there was like a song, something was singing in my spirit. He's put a new song in our hearts. And Paul says this in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And usually we stop the verse there. But after the word Spirit, there's not a period, there's a comma. Instead of being drunk with wine, instead of singing those barroom tunes and waking up the next day hungover and emptier than when we started, he said, instead, be filled with the Spirit, comma, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music in your heart to God, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we celebrate, because Jesus gave us the victory and God gave us his word. And the Holy Spirit has given us a song when we come to Jesus, and let his victory start in our lives. We're celebrating today not only that some of us can worship together for the first time in a long time, but we're celebrating today with all those people that dedicated the walls of Jerusalem, because Jesus has given you and me the victory. I tell you, in the end, the enemy's going to lose and Jesus is going to win. And he's given us his word so we can get to know him more. And we don't have to live by our feelings about what may or may not happen to us from day to day. And he has put a song in our hearts. He put a new song in our hearts. And so we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's our celebration today. I just want to invite you to celebrate today. And for some of you, that may start by making an altar out of this moment right now and just saying, Jesus, if you did become the victorious general of all of space and time and history when you died on the cross, if you did take on evil itself and defeat it, I want you to forgive my sin and to come into my life. Your life is empty. Your life's hollow. You're trying to fill your life with every other thing, and it's leaving you not only without a song that lasts, but it's leaving you empty. But God wants to put that new song in your heart. He wants you to respond to his word today. He wants to put you to put your faith in the victory of Jesus. And then he wants to save you, to come and put his spirit in your life and give you a new song. And I just want to pray with you before we close today. And I just want to ask the Lord just to take that step as you open your heart to him. Father, thank you. Thank you, you have put a new song in our hearts. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to put that song in us when we repent of our sin and trust what you did on the cross for us. Thank you, you did defeat the enemy, the devil, at the cross, so that when we put our faith in you, he cannot stop us from you saving us and forgiving us and bringing your victory into our lives. So we pray for your grace to come now in Jesus' name. Forgive our sin. Come into our lives. Put the new song in our hearts. And I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that we'll just keep our eye on the long-term goal, the day that you come again. And we'll fill our lives with your word, and that we will sing our song Help us to sing in the face of every enemy. Help us to sing in the face of every problem. Help us to sing the praises of our God and to give place to the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we thank you that we can live that way. And we honor you and glorify you. And we celebrate your name. In Jesus' name, amen.